Today is the 20th August 2023, Thursday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, Straight from the Heart, Unique Dharma Code by me. We are at code 51. So the title is Silent Mind in Pure Awareness. We'll go through it after. So for the time being, can we get ready for physical puja? Then mindfully visual commence the puja chanting. Namo Bổn Sư释迦Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư释迦Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư释迦Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Quan Sư Yên Phú Sa. Namo Quan Sư Yên Phú Sa. Namo Quan Sư Yên Phú Sa. Namo Phổ Phú Sa. Namo Phổ Phú Sa. Namo Phổ Phú Sa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supadipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Anatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, now we will turn to page 3 of the chanting book. We will continue with the Padipa Puja. Padipa Puja. Ganna sarappa dithena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddha pujayami tamanuda. Ganda sambara yuthena dumpena hang sugang hina. Pujaye puja niyantam puja bhajana muttamam. Vanna ganda guno petam etang kusumasantati pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi betang kusumenanena punnena matena ce hotu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasabhavang adivasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patiganhatu mutamang Adivasetu no bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patiganhatu mutamang Adivasetu no bante bhojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja expiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dhanaparami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and paññā, leading to ultimate wisdom, our liberation, born free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and paññā be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, caring and transmerged to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we shall pay respect, Triple J. Butang Puche. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. Just relax body and mind, huh? And maintain some more attention. As usual, we are off the light, so that we can have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. For those who are familiar, just remember the four support, especially the first three support to develop awareness-based meditation. The first support is learning how to relax body and mind completely. Yeah. To relax means to be at ease, no problem, like your body physically soothingly relaxed without any problem. Yeah. No tension, no tightness, no stress within. Relax. Then your mind. To relax the mind is easy. Forget about everything. Whatever the mind wants you to attend to, think about or worry about, you tell the mind later after the meditation. For the moment, you hope there can be a period of half an hour of awareness for you to develop this stability of awareness space within. So relaxation is key. Relax into every mind state that arises. Relax into whatever that arises. Then after that, maintain awareness. Whatever that arises within our sixth sense, our form and mind. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. Maybe a thought, a tactile feeling, or any tactile response from the sixth sense. Whatever arises, let it be, cease. It can be conscious of any of the six senses, whether it's hearing, smell, taste, tactile, thought, or even your taste consciousness. When they arise, just aware. Then whatever vibration within nature, the fan, aircon sound, nature's vibration, your own breath, whatever that you come to perceive even through the mic, the speaker and all those things. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. And allow the mind to settle down so that the thinking will slow down until finally no more thinking. Then the third support is to maintain awareness for as long as you can. Allow the mind to settle down, to develop the awareness nature within. Stabilize that for as long as you can. This first three support is good enough. Then when the mind suddenly enters a deep or become very quiet, very peaceful and very still, when no more thinking, no more sankhara activity, no more thought process, no more aggregates of mind arising, the form and mind will know. There is a sudden shift in consciousness. The mind becomes very quiet, very peaceful, and very still. This is your true mind, your silent mind, your inner awareness nature. Its characteristic is tranquility, stillness. All these are words, but that nature that is being perceived or realized is different without words. So that is your silent mind, your true mind, your awareness nature. And that is the mind that can meditate, can insight into phenomena, can observe, can understand. So awareness-based meditation is to develop the stability of this inner mindfulness or inner awareness nature until it becomes very clear, very stable. Then from then on, meditation becomes very easy. From there, all understanding will arise. Okay, I will let you meditate on your own. I will set the alarm now, and after that, I will ring the bell. When the 30 minutes is up, upon hearing the bell, you can slowly mindfully come out of the meditation. Okay. Okay. I call it. You all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay. And turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chirakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhamman Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadam Dhammasvanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhammasvanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhammasvanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Iti beso bhagava raham sama sambuddho vijjacharana sampanno sukato lokavidho anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manosana Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandhitiko Kaliko Ehi Paseko Upanayiko Pajyatam Veditabo Vinohiti Subhadipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjubhadipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayabhadipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Yadidam chattari purisayokane Atta purisapugala Esa bhagavato sakkasangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakkineyo Anjali karaniyo Nanutara punyaketa Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay. You can be seated. Then we can continue from where we stop. We are at unique Dhamma code number 51. And it's on page 14, huh? Page 14, Unit Tamako 51. For those who may not be familiar with this book, huh? Straight from the Heart, Unit Tamako, yeah? These are the compilation of 160 plus quotes, huh? That we have develop over the years of sharing, and these are called unique quotes straight from the heart. Is because the quote came from the deep understanding from the nature. That's why it's very unique. If you just read and try to understand it as superficial knowledge, then you won't grasp the deep meaning. But you have developed the meditation, developed the understanding of what this awareness nature is, then this code has a lot of meaning. And you will come to know why they are called unique code. Because it points directly to our true mind, our true nature. So when you understand what this true mind or true nature is, then you can develop it. Unless you have the understanding, it's not easy. Because most cultivators of the way, they are trapped. Not because they don't have the understanding, they are trapped because they basically do not understand what mind is. The two aspects of mind. Basically, living being has two minds. One is the thinking mind, or what we call the mundane, heedless thinking mind. And this mind is dependent originating, condition arising. It's a causal phenomenon. Whereas the other mind, which is completely the opposite of the mundane mind, is called the true mind, our true nature, our true mind, the silent mind, before the thought arises, before the thinking, before the arising of the aggregates of mind. And that one is just an awareness nature within. And to realize that is very important. So this is why normal people, they approach meditation with the mundane mind, the thought process, leading to mundane living, mundane activity, mundane response. And that way of living depends on the memory a lot. The memory is the source of knowledge for them to carry. And that knowledge arises because of accumulation. When you accumulate a lot of life experiences, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, or all of your, what they call, accumulated memories, good and bad, you carry them and they become your conditioning, your belief system, your whatever religious norm. And also you carry with it all of your experiences, good and bad, positive and negative, but mainly negative. Your phobia, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your insecurity. All this, you tend to carry them. Even your deep resentment, your whatever panic attack, or what they call nightmare that you arise during your sleep, because all these are trapped memories. So when your consciousness become like disorder, when there is no order, your brain actually store a lot of all this so-called toxic memory, or we call it emotional memory. All this is what memory and knowledge is all about. So when you use the instrument to act, you tend to have problem. That's why they will use the thought process to learn things, to understand things, to develop the so-called meditation. If you approach it from the instrument of thought, you will have problem, because what we want to realize is the Dhamma, which is beyond thought, beyond mind, beyond knowledge and theory. So the instrument limits your ability to go beyond. And if that is the case, how can you realize something that is totally beyond the instrument that you are using? As a thought-based meditation will never give rise to the true penetrative Dhamma wisdom. Thought-based meditation will lead to more knowledge, more what they call experiences. It won't bring about the awakening. So because of that, normal people find it very difficult to develop real progress as far as a spiritual understanding is concerned, the true Dhamma understanding is concerned. So what we want you to develop as understanding is the awareness-based meditation, which is what this whole unique book is all about. If you don't know what is awareness within, you cannot develop this type of meditation. Basically, awareness nature is the awareness, or what we call sati. Some translate it as mindfulness. So the definition of mindfulness is very important, or sati. Sati or mindfulness is actually an awareness before the knowing. And if you can understand this definition, then you will understand what the true mind is, what the silent mind is. So basically, it's to develop sati, leading to heedfulness, which the Buddha actually stressed a lot. So this book is mainly printed to cater for the understanding. So now we will continue from where we stop. Unique Dhamma Code number 51. Silent mind in pure awareness. That is the heading. So why did we choose this heading? Is because we are developing this inner awareness within. The inner awareness is your silent mind, the true mind, the meditative mind. That's why the title silent mind means to realize your true mind. And that silent mind is basically just pure awareness. It's just aware before the knowing, before the arising of thought, before the arising of the aggregates of mind. So this understanding is very important. Then I will read on this unique quote. I said, develop the silent mind and just be aware. Can you do that? Actually, to develop the awareness-based meditation, this is what you have to do. Develop the silent mind means allow the mind to settle down and become quiet and still. Means this is your true mind, your original mind, the silent mind, before the stirring of mind, before the reaction of mind, before the heedless thinking. You just let it settle down and return to its original state before the knowing, before the arising of thought. It's not difficult. But when you don't understand, it's very difficult. Will you try to arise the thought through method and technique or thought process to make the thought go away? Impossible. The moment there is a thought involved, whether it arises as a meditator or wanting to know or wanting to do, that thought becomes active. When thought is active, how can you develop the silent mind? How can you realize the true mind? So understand that. Don't try to do. Don't try to know. That's why the instruction becomes very clear when you understand this. So develop the silent mind by just being relaxed, maintain awareness, to stabilize the awareness, the first three support. When you are relaxed, you don't do anything. Just let things be, relax, at ease. So relaxation is very important. Then don't try to know, means no thought. Don't try to do, also no thought at all. So develop the silent mind and just be with the awareness. That is what you have to do. And the instruction is very simple. But if you use the thought to try to understand and try to do, it becomes a problem. Understand? So don't use the thought to understand. Because the thought can never understand. The thought can only give rise to knowledge. And through knowledge, it tries to do. And who is doing? The thought is doing. So what you need here is to understand everything that is described or shared. Then when you understand, determine to try it out using the four support, especially the first three. Yeah. Then learn how to relax, not to do anything. Don't try to know. All this, don't do. Maintain awareness. Means no arising of thought. Can you do that? Whatever that stir your mind or move within your form and mind and the six sense basis, just aware. Finish. Otherwise, you will be caught in the train of thinking, the proliferation of thought, the activity of thinking, sankhara. They will arise. So develop the silent mind and just be aware. When you can do that, naturally, the next sentence says, the understanding will surface by itself without you doing anything. How many of you have tried it? Yeah? Do you believe in this statement? Yeah? Anybody? You mean you haven't tried this? You have to try it. The understanding will surface by itself without you doing anything. See? The moment you are aware, that silent mind that is aware can observe, can insight into the phenomenon, and can awaken. It can also develop whatever contemplation it wants to. And this is how the first, second, and third turning develops. The three types of wisdom that correspond to the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. So amazingly, wonderfully, the awareness nature within, which is your silent mind, the meditative mind, is the one that can awaken you. Because this one is not a thought, it's not a knowledge. No thought involved. Through that deep silence, that stability of awareness, It will have the ability to observe and understand awaken. So this sentence, you have to investigate into it, put it to test. And when it stand up to investigation, you will have a lot of joy and faith in the cultivation. So I realize what is difficult is for those who still haven't developed the stability of this inner awareness, that first part you have to do. That's why I say develop the silent mind and just be aware, then stabilize it. Once you stabilize it, then stay in that state. You have to meditate from the true mind, the silent mind, not with the thought. Otherwise, it's not awareness-based meditation. So from there, the direct seeing can arise. The silent mind that observe can awaken, can realize, can develop understanding, which is wisdom, panya. After this, you can also use the awareness nature to contemplate with the silent mind. Then only through your awareness or sati or mindfulness can you awaken. Not through your Dhamma knowledge, thoughts, and memory. And this last sentence will become very clear. Can follow? Yeah? Slowly, yeah? You can follow. It will be very good. And for those who have done it, they will know. This one is really beautiful. That's why it's a unique Dhamma code. Even though we only have four lines. But the meaning is very deep, very, very deep and very profound. And those who have the experience of what this thing is, who has gone through the cultivation, they will rejoice, they will understand. Because to put it in words is not easy. To develop it and have that understanding is the beginning of what they call cultivation. Then after that, most people, even if they have touched this, develop the inner awareness within. Then slowly, slowly stabilizing it. Then during that process, a lot of things will happen. But they may not understand what is happening. But somehow, like what I mentioned here, the understanding will surface by itself without you doing anything. That's why I say when you have stabilized your inner awareness, your sati, Dhamma keep on arising. The understanding keep on unfolding. Because that sati, that silent mind is the one that keep on understanding. That keep on awakening. Before that, a lot of things that happen within the movement of mundane mind and mundane activity, you cannot have the possibility to understand what is going on. Because you can't see. Why can't you see? Because you are lost in thought, heedless. Completely, heedlessly lost in thought. And your thought activity is so intense. We call it habitual tendency, leading to heedless thinking. So when you think a lot, it's very obvious, isn't it? How can you be aware? Man can only do one thing at a time. Huh? I better write down. So this sentence is very important. Man can only do one thing at a time. Here, I'm not referring to multitasking. I'm referring to your mind. What can your mind do? You start from there, then you understand. When your mind is silent, what happens? Yeah? When your mind is silent, what can this mind do? The first thing is, when your mind is silent, what can it do? Huh? It is without thought, isn't it? Without thought means what? It is attentive, isn't it? It is aware, isn't it? Can you understand this? So when the mind is silent, it is without thought. It is silent and just aware. So this is very important. When your mind, sorry, there's a word here, miss out, huh? Is silent, it is without thought. It is just aware, huh? So this word no need to repeat. It is still and just aware. This is how your silent mind, which is your true mind and your meditative mind, observe. Because it is just aware. So this word is very important. If you are not doing this, then the other possibility is what? Your mind is not silent, isn't it? Not silent means what? Lost in thought. So the other possibility is, or the second possibility. Is mind is not silent. So when your mind is not silent, is lost in thought. Or thinking. So here thinking means you are preoccupied with the thought process. So here, when you are preoccupied, pre of 1C or 2C. Huh? Occupy is 1C or 2C. 2C, yeah. Right. 1B only. Yeah. B is 1 only there. You are preoccupied with your thinking. So understanding this is very important. When your mind is not silent, it is lost in thought or creating thinking. Thinking means you are preoccupied if your thought process or thinking or thought process, I better put a stroke here. So these thought processes include all your mental activity, mental states, sankhara, mind states, your anger, your emotion, your fear, your insecurity, all these are within the content of consciousness. When you are preoccupied with this, means what? You are worrying about life, thinking about life, planning about your life, that's how. Then how can you be aware? Do you understand? When you are doing all this, means you are worrying about life. Imply. Worry. Planning. Just now I mentioned three. Worrying, planning, and what is the other word? You are too busy worrying, planning, and what is the other word? Never mind. After, if you can remember, we put it. Means you are worrying about life, planning, and there's another word I forgot already. Preoccupied with your thinking or thought process means you are worrying, planning. There is one more word I forgot already. Anyway, about life. Then how can you be aware?
Scheming.
Scheming. Okay. How can you be aware? This one is very important. Worrying, planning, and scheming. In fact, all this movement is what the thought process is all about. Because we think a lot. We worry about a lot. Oh, the other word is thinking, sorry. Too busy. Too busy thinking. Too busy thinking, planning, worrying, and scheming about life. Then how can you be aware? Then this word is that. So understanding this is very important. Man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are lost in thought, too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so, you miss out on life. Because if you are doing all this, preoccupied with your thinking and thought process, means you are worrying, planning, thinking, scheming, and doing all those things, then how can you be aware? So if that is the case, the Buddha said, it's either you are heedful or you are heedless. So when you are with this, number one, you are heedful. Here is heedful. Okay, so number one is heedful. Heedful living. This one is heedless living. Heedless living means you are constantly lost in thought. Most of the time, thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So thinking, planning, and worrying about life is what living beings normally do. Then sometimes, of course, they scheme. They like become cunning. Or sometimes they develop all sorts of mental movement because they want things, they crave for things. Then all this create more and more thinking, leading to more and more entanglement, leading to more and more heedless living. That's how one becomes heedless. And the moment you are heedless, the Buddha said the heedless are as if dead. So understand this. So if you don't want to be heedless, if you don't want to develop this type of heedless living, then what must you do? You must reverse this, isn't it? Because your mind is not silent because you think a lot. Can follow. And why do you think a lot? Avijja paccaya, Sankara, isn't it? And what is avidya? Ignorant, delusion, ignorant of the truth of Dhamma. That's why without Dhamma, you will think avidya paccaya sankara. Then the whole chain of dependent origination here, I send out that Trinity triangle. You remember? One side is mundane living. This one is mundane heedless living. The senses down there, you remember? Pure awareness, trigger of mundane thinking. The senses, the five aggregate of form and mind, the grasping, the clinging, the suffering. Whereas the other direction of the triangle is from the pure awareness, you move to the silent mind. When your mind is silent, it is the meditative mind, the awareness. That's why you must meditate from the awareness. When your awareness is there, there is the direct seeing. There is a silent mind observing. That movement can bring about awakening, insight into phenomena, can develop the wisdom. So now you see, this thing become very clear. You can contemplate and reflect. This statement, is it true? Man can only do one thing at a time. You try in the meditation. If you don't think, can you be in this that state of heedfulness? The other possibility is you don't have to learn. You have been doing this for so long, umpteen years. So this one, the heedless thinking, the heedless living without a spiritual faculty, always have the mental hindrance to create all this sankara activity with this content. And this leads to downfall. This leads to what they call affliction. That's why the Buddha said, the heedless are as if dead. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. And heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. So this understanding is important. That's why it's important to understand this code number 51. Unique Dhamma code number 51, which is silent mind in pure awareness. And this is the mind that you must develop. And through this, you can develop the awareness-based meditation leading to the awakening, enlightenment, and the wisdom that is required or needed for living. That's why Yoni Sotmanasikara can arise only when you have sati or mindfulness developed and stabilized. Okay, so far? Can follow? Yeah? You don't like assume you know. Go back, read this many times, reflect, contemplate, then make it a living reality. Until you wake up to this, you will continue to be lost in thought. You will find it very difficult to have this heedful living, to have a mind that is ever mindful, continuously aware. That's why you have to develop the stability of this inner awareness nature until the mind enters sati. Then when you come out of it throughout the day, you are aware, mindful, without thought distraction. That's why you will have more and more space between thought. Then when you are most of the time aware, you hardly think. That's why your way of living life transform from a traditional or what they call commonly experienced type of living, which is heedless thinking living. You transform and move over to develop the ability to be mindful, aware most of the time, leading to heedful living. Okay? Any questions? Huh? Any question? You better ask if you still cannot get this one. But this one is very important. And I have to make sure this one, all Kayamita should have this understanding by now. Then from here, to continue to progress is very easy. Okay? Anybody wants to add anything or ask any question, you can. Yeah? Anybody on the online? So no question misunderstood, huh? Okay, then we move on. Okay, now I read again unique code 51. Maybe you will understand it better. Silent mind in pure awareness. Develop the silent mind and just be aware. The understanding will surface by itself without you doing anything. After this, you can contemplate with the silent mind. Only through mindfulness or awareness or sati can you awaken. Not through your Dhamma knowledge, thought and memories. So this becomes very clear. Huh? Then the next few code is a follow-up. Unique code 52. Our true mind is the tranquil and still mind in pure awareness. By now, I think this is clear, right? Yeah? What is your true mind? The first thing that differentiates the true mind from the mundane mind is what? Yeah? What they have right on the board? Ah, silent without thought. Get that in, anasana. To realize that you must not think, anasana. And how can you not think when you have been thinking all the time? That's why you must look at the four support. Why I introduce the four support? When you are relaxed, do you think? You don't think, is it? Relax means no problem. No problem means no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no whatever. Then thinking don't arise. That's a relax. Then aware. Aware means what? No thought, understand? When you are silent means there is no thought, means you are just aware. That is basically what your silent mind is, your true mind is. So this understanding is very important. So our true mind, the characteristic is what? Tranquility, understand? And still. So tranquility and stillness of mind in pure awareness is your true mind. Means no thinking. No activity of mind, sankhara movement or activity. So understanding that is very important. As I hear is mentioned by me, our true mind is just the tranquil, still mind in pure awareness, bracket, without thought. Understand this so that you know how to meditate. Then you will know whenever there is a thinker, a meditator, or wanting to know, wanting to do, the thought become active. Then you are no longer in this state of true pure awareness. Then you can never have the first hallmark of winning, which is wu nian, without thought. The first stage or first hallmark of winning is to develop the ability to have the silent mind without thought. And this is what manager has been trying to teach you all these years, to develop this inner awareness nature, which is aware without thought. And such a mind can awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkang, and anatta, which is impermanent, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature of existence. Because without this silent mind, awareness nature within the true mind, it can never awaken. It can never insight into phenomena. It can never see things as they are. Then the next code is yoniso manasikara. What is yoniso? What is manasikara? Yoniso is the wisdom. Manasikara is the attention, moment of sense experience. Means wisdom at the moment of sense contact, sense door contact. Or sense experience. Manasikara is actually attention. Means when you give attention to that sense basis, like seeing, the seeing consciousness, you have to have manasikara attention at the object of seeing. Means we have our six sense basis. When we are at the hearing, means manasikara attention is at the organ of hearing. Then the sense data and the consciousness, the three, come into contact. That's why at the moment of contact, it triggers, like the physics experiment, the respective sense of consciousness. It can be hearing consciousness, seeing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, or thought consciousness. These are the six sense bases that give rise to the corresponding six types of sense or consciousness. And through mindfulness, you can see them. You can understand the movement, the behavior. Then you can be at the moment of contact, at the moment of arising of consciousness, at the moment of input of content of consciousness, at the moment of feeling, perception, activity of mind, and even consciousness. The five aggregates of form and mind, you can perceive them. You can be aware of them one by one. And it remains as pure aggregate, no more grasping aggregate. To do that, you must have this wisdom at the moment of sense experience. Yoniso manasikara is very important. And this yoniso manasikara can only arise when you are in that awareness state, attentively listening to develop the first turning wisdom, or reflecting, contemplating, and inquiry through the silent mind to develop clear understanding of what this teaching is. Then the other one, the third turning is, don't do anything. Silent everything and allow it to insight into phenomena and awaken. So the third turning wisdom is called Bhavana Maya Panya. Wisdom, Panya, born of Bhavana. Bhavana means cultivating the four foundations of mindfulness. That's why everything is about mindfulness. Mindfulness of kaya, mindfulness of feeling, mindfulness of citta, content of consciousness, and mindfulness of what they call dhamma or truth. So when you are aware, mindful, that is the third turning. Bhavana maya panya. That's why mindfulness is without the thought process. Everything is through that awareness. When you are aware, you can understand, you can awaken, you can insight into phenomena and develop all this wisdom. So yoniso manasikara is wisdom at the moment of sense experience. Eh? Okay, you need me to explain clearer. You got any question, you can just stop me and then ask whatever question. Okay, then if there is no question, we move on. Unique quote number 54. It is important to develop the silent mind or the meditative mind, which is also your true mind, until it is very stable. Mark this word, until it is very, very stable. Yeah. When it's very stable, it becomes very sensitive. So this and sensitive, don't worry. The moment it's stable, it becomes sensitive. A lot of things that you cannot see, cannot understand, cannot realize. Once the awareness nature stabilizes, you will understand. You will see. Like I always say, truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. Anytime, anywhere, any place. Because this awareness nature, when it's stabilized, it is very, very sensitive. is fully aware. And most of the time, for you to stabilize it, you must have the wisdom behind already. Otherwise, you cannot stabilize it. There is no two way. To stabilize the awareness is to stabilize the true mind, which is without thought. You think it's easy to stabilize the true mind? The free mind that doesn't think, you think it's easy? There is no way you can do it without wisdom, without understanding. That's why the free mind that is without thought is the true samadhi. And that is your true mind, your silent mind, your awareness nature. And that is the one you have to realize. And once you realize that, the first hallmark of awakening is really there, union, the state of no thought. But it has to be a free mind, not a conditioned mind. So this one is very important. Eh? Then I read on, you will understand. It is important to develop the silent meditative mind until it is very stable and sensitive, so that you can be aware when there is any slightest intent or intention to stir the mind. We are like and dislike, born of habitual tendency. This one is a very important understanding. You must see it in your daily life, your meditation. Then Yoni Sopanasikara will prompt you that this is attachment, craving, born of wrong view, for things are just the way they are, or it is. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. Then like the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. So ability to understand all this, to comprehend all this, to see things as they are, is to have the wisdom to come to terms with the reality. When you can see things as they are, you do not stir your mind. Yeah, like the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. That is nature. That is tatata, suchness. So you cannot argue with nature. When condition is like that, things will be like that. It cannot be otherwise. If you want things your way, you suffer. Because nature is the one that governs all of life and existence. Nature's law. When condition is set, things will go that way, cannot be otherwise. So this understanding is the one that will stabilize your mind. Then you will be able to see things as they are, accept people for what they are, the world as the world. Then you will have that joy, that understanding, that what they call stability of mind, to rejoice with whatever that arises. Then life becomes very different. You start to understand life in a totally different way. Yeah. When you have all this understanding and wisdom born of the direct seeing, the silent mind, your yoniso manasikara, wisdom, at the moment of sense experience, become very stable. And initially, it keep on prompting you, and letting you understand until it stabilizes, until it become a part of you. When it become a part of you, you just smile. It no need to prompt you anymore, because you have developed the stability of understanding through your deep penetrative, contemplative and direct seeing, the turning wisdom. So all this is what Dhamma cultivation is all about. So hopefully, with all this, it will help you understand. So Yoniso Manasikara will prompt you that this is attachment or craving or grasping or conditioning. belief system, etc., born of wrong view. Then I just summarize as four things are just the way they are. I just want you to understand this one. This one is enough. But this one cover all the rest that I used to share and explain. But to understand this, to include all those, is very difficult. You need to have that type of stability or understanding and awakening. You need to link them, connect them. Yeah. Otherwise, you have to reflect, stabilize the understanding of all those that I have shared with you all. Yeah. The world is the world. People are just... So all these are the wisdom that enlightened beings have come up with to help you develop understanding. Like my teacher Achayantra, he said, we choose to accept everything as natural. Then after that, he add on one more sentence. Only mighty nature rolling by. Whatever happened, that is the reality. Mighty nature rolling by. Yeah. Means we choose to accept everything as natural. We don't argue with what is, with nature, with suchness. And that is the equanimous mind. Upeka, the seventh enlightenment factor. So without all this understanding, that enlightenment factor, upeka, cannot arise. And that is the one that liberates the mind, free the mind. No need to do anything. No need to develop energy fields, psychic, or whatever they call special meditative experience, and equate that to enlightenment. Enlightenment is nothing special. Enlightenment is just understanding. When you have wisdom and can understand the way things are, that is enlightenment. Then no more suffering, no more problem. Everything ceases. You don't have to develop all the other superfluous things. You don't need psychic to awaken. You don't need to be a superhuman to awaken. No. You only need wisdom. That's why I always share, nothing liberates or frees the mind except wisdom. Always remember that. And to develop wisdom, you have to go beyond thought, beyond mind. You have to develop the silent mind, the direct seeing, the awakening. Okay. Okay, I think we can stop now. Huh? We stop at code 54. Huh? So the next one is code 55. Okay, now we can continue with the second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by whatever Dhamma discussion or question that you may have. Huh? You can ask me whatever question you have regarding the meditation or the Dhamma, or what we share today. Yeah? Then also how to apply this teaching to help us understand life and solve our whatever life situation or problems. Yeah? Okay, we open it up. Yeah? PJ, Sadhu, the mic, PJ. Yeah, Sadhu. Yeah.
Good evening, Raju.
Yeah, Sadhu.
Mr. Steele,
yeah.
Since we're on this subject, maybe I one of my experiences.
Sadhu.
On the Tuesday itself.
I think the mic is not on. Not the mic. You speak directly on the thing.
On Tuesday
okay.
itself, I went to the immigration.
Now it's clear. Okay.
Immigration. And as usual, you know, it's like madness. You know, I went there at 7:30. We went in about 8 o'clock. And as usual, everybody rushed in. So I told myself, just watch your mind.
Oh, good. Sadhu.
See how it behaves.
Yeah. The reaction of mind, the movement, activity of Sankara. When you are aware, you can actually silently Because the awareness, you offer to, we use the word wash our mind, the mundane mind, the thinking, the activity, the stirring, the reaction, the movement. This is what mindfulness is all about. Very good. Then what happened? Huh?
So I managed to get a seat because somehow they give preference to the
senior citizen. Yeah.
The younger ones, when they see us coming, they're so shy, they got up and give us the
seat. Oh, very good, Sadhu.
So when I was sitting, luckily I was at the last seat, and I could see like everybody is like trying to either shove their way in or trying to get a spot. You see the rushing, the rushing, and then the anxiety that you miss your numbers and all this. So you can feel the buzz of the place, you know. So I just tell myself, just keep quiet, just silence the mind, and just be aware. So I was actually how to say, Brother, you always have this code. There can be silence.
Means in the midst of activity, there can be stillness. Then in the midst of sound, there can be silence.
So I just tell myself, just be aware and see for yourself.
Yeah.
This sentence, you know.
Yeah. So you put to test. Yeah.
I could do it, Brazil.
Sadhu, very good.
And the surprising thing is like I could stay very quiet for quite a while.
Very good.
And just watch people. And watch
by being silent, no need to do anything. That's why in the midst of all this activity outside, the eagerness of human behavior, then most of them are trying to rush to have a seat, to go in, and all this activity. They are the mundane society's common movement activity. So if you are silent, aware, you can sense it, you can see. But when you have this understanding and just let things be and just stay silent within, you become very different. Then you experience the two states, like what I used to share. In the midst of activity outside, all the activity movement, there is inner silence. There can be silence. There can be stillness. So all these codes, they have deep meaning, because when you do it and you realize it, then you know it can be done. That's why in the midst of sound or activity, there can be silence and stillness within. So all this is what nature is all about. All this is what society is all about. So when you can realize all this in the midst of life, then you become different. You develop the inner faith, which is very stable. Then from there, you know the teaching is paccetta, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. It's not just a theory. It's not just say somebody's experience that can never be developed by others. No, the true Dhamma is always there for the wise to realize. So Dhamma cultivation, when you go through, you develop the understanding differently from the normally thought-based type of understanding or knowledge-based type of practice. It's totally different. And the way you understand it, awaken to it, when you read the book, you realize it's not the same. What has been shared is very, very theoretical. Mostly it's scholarly. They call it scholarly Dhamma or knowledge-based type of Dhamma. Not the penetrative understanding and awakening that is developed through the silent mind, the direct seeing, the tranquility, the true mind, all this will surface. Then for the first time in your life, you realize, no wonder living being cannot get it, cannot develop it, cannot experience it, cannot penetrate the truth. So all this will arise. That's why the Buddha, I remember in the Tipitaka, the text, is mentioned. After he became enlightened underneath the Bodhi tree, after the 7 weeks of experience that he go through, then he reflected. Then he realized what he has come to understand and realize is so profound that normal living being can never understand. That's why he didn't even arise the thought to teach and to share until the Brahma up there, Sahampati, can read his mind and realize that what a waste. The Sammasambuddha has a reason, and yet he doesn't intend to share what is. That's why he came down, pay his respect, circumvented, pay his respect, then appeal to the Buddha to share. He said there are some with little dust in their eye that can still understand your teaching. Then the Buddha reflected. Then the Buddha realized, yeah, he said there are the two teachers that taught him, Alara and Udaka. Then he checked. He said, if these two are around, he only had to say a few words and they will understand. Then they will awaken. But then it's coming because they hold on to their belief that the formless rhyme, the last and the second last formless rhyme are the ultimate refuge or ultimate realization that they were like aspiring for. And because of that, they have to die before the Buddha becomes the Sammasambuddha. Otherwise, they cannot have that type of fulfillment of their intent. So because of that, the Buddha checked. One of them passed away 7 days ago, 1 week ago. The other one just the night before. That's why he said, never mind. Then he reflected on the five ascetic. Ah, this five ascetic, he said, yeah, they can develop the understanding. That's why he decided to walk that direction, to meet up with them, I think, after quite a while, almost a month later. Then immediately he delivered the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Kondanya become a Sotapan. Then after that, he followed with the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, the Sutta on non-self, empty nature of existence. Straight away, all the other four, including Kondanya, become Arahant. That's how powerful the teaching was. So what he realized is definitely not something that normal, ordinary cultivator can understand. That's why when my nature in 1989 connect, I had the same situation. Yeah, I reflected and contemplated. How can I share what I realized? It's completely the opposite of what the Buddhist community do at that time. Almost completely 180 degrees opposite, different. Well, one is awareness based, so deep based. The other one is thought based. And everything that I have realized, awakened to me is like, this is what cultivator of the way need. This is the important understanding that they need so that they can progress and awaken. But then later on, even when I came out to share after 15 years, yeah, 1989 to 2004, I realized whatever I share after 15 years, they still cannot understand. No? Hardly anybody understands. No? At that time, I was telling that if anybody can understand 10% of what I spoke, is already very, very good. Then finally, I had to reverse my teaching. I had to go back to basics. I have to start teaching the essential Dhamma again. The four noble truths, the three turning, that spin of the essential Dhamma, then link everything back. Then slowly, slowly create the condition for people to receive the true teaching. It's basically just like the supreme vehicle cannot be taught at that time. You have to go back to the expedient devices. That's why when I came out, I just call it sharing the three conditions. No right, no wrong, all those things. And I never do away method and technique. I say you can meditate with any method, any technique, any object of meditation. To me, they are just skillful means to train your mind, to anchor your mind. That time I had to start from that direction. That's why it's not easy. And slowly, slowly, as the time like mature or developed, then only I can start to share heedfulness. Apamada. Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23, and all those important verse, Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, 183. All this I have to repeat for many years before you all slowly, slowly develop the understanding. And then only I can slowly introduce the higher teaching. That's why a lot of this unique code, everything, only came out after 2016 when the Bodhisattva Way came about. Before that, all this, I cannot teach, I cannot share, because nobody can understand. So what PG has actually experienced is a very good beginning. So going to the passport, to renew your passport in immigration, there is a very good condition for her to go through. That's why if you have Dhamma in mind, when you are in the midst of life, when you are doing something, you can actually develop heedfulness, apply the Dhamma, and investigate into all those things that I said. And most of the people who progress, they are the one that have the faith and listen attentively and just do. Then they somehow, because they are simple, not complicated, not the one that is very like, they call it complicated type of mind, that thing a lot, it cannot be so simple, cannot. Once you do that, you are analyzing. You are trying to like, the other word is so that you like analyze, and the other word is what? No. I always use, you use the thought one. One is to analyze, the other reasoning. You keep on analyzing and reasoning. Cannot be so simple. Yeah, you reason, understand now? How can it be so easy? Then you become like deluded by what that thought tell you. Then you believe it must be something very esoteric, very difficult to achieve, or very difficult to realize. But then the thought will bring you to fantasy island, understand now? Then you will fail to try and give it what they call give it a try. Means you fail to even take the first step. And the first step is the most important step. Relax, maintain awareness. It's just as simple as that. Silence your mind. Don't do anything. As simple as that. But because you are too complicated, too sophisticated, you think cannot be so simple. And the thought keep on moving you away. And because of that, most of them, I realize, they cannot develop the progress because they have a lot of conditioning. Especially those who have studied the Theravada tradition for many years before they met me. Because they have been taught all the different type of teaching. Method, technique, vipassana, jhana. Then, without understanding the basic essential Dhamma, without understanding the basic essential understanding of what sati is, they try to use the thought to develop all this cultivation, which actually bring them nowhere. That's why they realize after so many years, no progress, nothing. But yet, with that type of conditioning, belief system, they resist a lot of teaching that is new on the setup, that they haven't heard of. They say, cannot be. Dhamma, where got like that one? Monk also don't talk like that. Book also never write. Then, how can I teach? I just, that's why initially I have to give rise to faith through what? I use the words of the Buddha, Dhammapadako. All these are from the Buddha, but I explain it my way. Then slowly, slowly, this one get accepted. Actually, I don't need to quote the Buddha. If you have the faith, you just listen. That's why you look at Po Chen, he doesn't know Dhamma. He doesn't have much knowledge of what basic Theravada teaching is, or Mahayana teaching is. It's quite new. And yet, she listened attentively and just do, then she can understand all the things that I described. And she can go through and realize those realization and awakening just by following instruction, developing the faith and the urgency of cultivation. How come she can do it? Even Alicia, and many other Karyamita who has faith, they are able to benefit, progress, develop the progress and understanding and transform in their own way. So this is what cultivation is. Have faith, be diligent, then investigate into the Dhamma, everything that is being shared or spoken. Then develop clear understanding, then do. Don't question. I don't ask you to believe, understand? Develop the understanding, the word is understand, then do. You won't go wrong. You only need to have faith, sincerity, then diligence. Then the way will come about. The understanding will unfold. And what you need to hit is sati, stability of it. Today's sharing is very important, silent mind. Go into it, develop it. Once this one stabilized, technically you don't need a teacher. Like I say in the quote, with the stability of awareness or sati, you will develop the understanding yourself. Dhamma will unfold. Wisdom will unfold. Everything will follow. So this is the beauty of the Buddha Dhamma, which can be realized by the wise, each for themselves, nothing else. So going the correct way is very important. When you realize the big difference between heedful living and heedless living, you will never go back to the other heedless living anymore. Where the two is worn apart. One is full of stress, affliction, suffering, misery, mental suffering. The other one is tranquil, still, peaceful, with a lot of joy, a lot of what they call there is another word, what is it? With a lot of understanding. The understanding and the joy make you calm, peaceful, tranquil, and still. Then that joy that is born of all this understanding is so different. You become very different. Then life becomes like meaningful, wonderful. And you can integrate back into life, into society, and become normal again, despite the understanding that you have. Then you look at life so beautiful, so clear, so wonderful. So this is what the Buddha Dhamma can offer. And it is one of the most wonderful gems in this world. You can never find something as beautiful and as wonderful as this. Okay? Yeah, PG, sorry for the interruption. You continue, yeah.
Yeah, Virtue. A lot of us are so lost in living life itself that if we do not have the understanding of the Dharma, it is very stressful. As I can say, you can see just the normal people at the immigration, they are so lost in getting things done, you know. And I notice for myself in many occasions when I choose to be non-reactive and calm, a lot of things get done very easily and very smoothly. Everything goes very smoothly, even at the immigration and all that. Time passes very fast, you know, and things get done. And
sadhu.
Not an issue for me in
yeah,
this case.
Sadhu.
I may not have much understanding of the deeper Dharma just yet, Raju, but I learned to accept things.
They're one very important.
One of the most important statement for me is whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions.
Ah, that one is very beautiful, very powerful.
Very powerful, because you learn to accept life, whatever it may be, especially when not so good things happen. We can still accept it.
Correct.
We are not happy with it.
Yeah, because that is the reality.
Yeah,
it cannot be otherwise. Thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things be like that. So it has to do with our coming past. So when we accept, we are at peace, like I always say. When you are at peace, you don't stir your mind, you don't react, no negativity, then the possibility of further negative karma to come and impact on you or afflict you, stop. Straight away, clear. That's why when you have this mind that can accept and be at peace, there is clarity, there is no more negativity. So it will never stir and condition negative karma again. There's no more condition for it to arise. And then, with that clarity, you observe and ask yourself, what happened? Inquire. Then, develop the Dhamma way to resolve it amicably. How can I resolve all this amicably? So that there is no more karmic negativity, so that nobody gets hurt. And through this constant sustenance of this understanding and cultivation, your life will become more and more peaceful, more and more tranquil, less and less heedless, no more wrong view. Then you realize your karma also change. Because when you do this, you follow the Dhamma way, which is Noble Eightfold Path. You do not accumulate new karmic negativity. You do not create new karmic condition for negativity to arise. And this is the beauty. Yeah. Seeing things as they are, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind, means nature's law. It has to be that way already. We are conditioned that, that things really cannot be otherwise. So you accept that. That is the reality. That is what tatata is, suchness. That is what Krishnamurti say, real, that means, what is the word that Krishnamurti uses? What is? Accept what is. What is the reality. And in fact, a lot of cultivators, the way who understand, they also say, you cannot argue with nature. You cannot argue with what is. What is tatata, suchness, the reality. The reality is what that arise following nature's law. Cannot be otherwise. If you want things your way, which is not nature's way, then you suffer. That is the cause of arising or suffering. The seventh reality of the first noble truth. When you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way. So all this, as you contemplate and reflect, it will stabilize. And the understanding, once it's stabilized, becomes so beautiful. That's why for you to start cultivating that wisdom is very important. As this develops, it will stabilize. Then when you one day develop the clear understanding, you vow to have this understanding life after life, so that whenever you arise, this understanding is with you. And that will become your parami. Then you will pick up this one very fast. It will become like very natural to you in future work. You will know how to respond to life. Arise that understanding. Then to your own surprise later on, when you arise again, you will come to know, how come you have this understanding that other people don't have? And you know how to resolve things like that. It's because you have cultivated it before. So this life you do it, it will arise in future life. A lot of things that I come to know this life, I never learned this life. I already told you all. All this come from my past. That's why when I hear this truth, when I read about it or hear about it, or when I listen to somebody sharing, if it's that thing that related to my past cultivation, I straight away will understand it very clearly, very deeply. Then I will know how to apply all these things. So this is what cultivation is all about. Stabilize it. Very good. Continue on, PA.
Virgil, I know how it is to be the other way around, like what you just explained. When I was working, there's no such thing as something go wrong and you don't do anything about it. For us, it is, there's only one way. If it's not going that way, you do everything to make sure that it goes that way. So my mind has been so conditioned, right? And looking at it now, I know why I had chronic illness. To me, there's no other way.
That's why you develop the stress, and by forcing it, you also create stress in others.
Yeah, but you say say also you.
You just
don't care how you do.
You become aggressive. True.
Because we have to answer to so many people. If
very
the client, they want it that way, you have to do it that way. Something else happens.
Because sometimes your boss also like that, very unreasonable. I don't care what you do.
Yeah, precisely. That's the only
way. Get it done.
Whether you don't sleep or you whatever it is, I work on 24-hour shift per day. What I have to do is, when I'm too tired, I find a table and I sleep. So when we hand over, the only thing he does is when I go back and sleep and he call me, is it done? I'm sleeping, you know. My mind don't even know what you're talking about. Then only after a while it process, done.
Career is like that.
It is so terrible now that I think of how I live.
Yeah, when you recall.
Thank goodness now it's the other way around.
Yeah, because all this is in your memory, you know, the stress that you go through. Then that what they call the harassment that you have to go through. Because bosses are like that. To them is, I pay you, Vanessa. You better deliver. Otherwise, I get somebody else to do it. And sometimes they have this weird way of management. They call it management by fear and harassment. They put fear in you, they threaten you, and they harass you to deliver. In fact, a lot of people in the career field, they are subject to a lot of this type of harassment, fear. So harassment many times. To deliver the work one is one time. The other one is they call the female one. They do the sexual harassment. That one is worse though. They make the lady, I tell you. They got phobia and fear. Then sometimes they go into depression. Then it end up with a lot of complicated affliction. So life, if you don't take care of karma, anything can happen, I tell you. That's why the danger of avijja, the danger of heedless living, the danger of not understanding this teaching, I tell you, you can never imagine how bad it can be. Even among our kayamita that have problem on, you hear their life story already bad enough. Understand? A lot of them earlier on, before they came to me, then the Dhamma, even Alicia's case, 16 years of depression, just imagine. That type of life not easy, before married, until married. For 16 years, that type of severe affliction. They call it what? The one. Yuizhen. In English it's called what?
Depression.
Depression. Depression. And it's not easy. You have to go through. You have to see psychiatry. You have to confront all these type of people whom you don't like. The first number two reality. Then she realized almost all the 8 reality all happened to her before. Within that 16 old years. That's why a lot of suffering until ulcer, gastric, health also affected. Like PG go through a lot of things. At least PG one is career, not so bad. Her one mixture, a lot of others. But she came out. After she has the Dhamma, she came out and recovered so beautifully. No need medication, like even that day, the whatever sharing, the recent one also said. He said, no need to eat this, eat that. It just go away. I mean, the small problem like vertigo. She only have faith and believe and just do that. It's clear. When you have the Dhamma, it's very wonderful. Then like PG said, when you are patient, when you cultivate the Dhamma, like everything go your way. Because you are less reactive, no more negativity, then you can be at peace with all things. Then everything just go the way of nature. Follow the Dhamma way. Then everything fall into place and become very beautiful. It's like Pijay share, it get resolved very easily and very fast. And then finish already. Then you have the advantage of age, I tell you. As you become a bit older, a bit of white hair, I think 50 or onward, they treat you very well. They address you as an uncle. Then they give you preference and all those things. They don't argue with you. Even on the traffic, I will say, oh, uphold, okay. So they have this courtesy. Even the other race, Malay, Indian, I realize they are very kind and very courteous to me. Oh, uncle, are you okay? Huh? You tak perlu bantuan. No, they actually help you. When I was in Singapore, same. I was in Singapore. I ordered that teh tarik, the airport there. Also. So I had to wait for it to deliver. Then they got this thing, like got light one. And like alarm, I tell you, yours is ready. Then he knew it's mine. Say, uncle, yours ready? Actually, the signal hasn't come out yet. Then after that, only I saw the light. Then Ben go and collect for me. They all very kind. And he is not young. He is, I think, 40 plus. So he said, call me uncle. So in life, when you have the Dhamma, it's a lot of things go your way. Then as you age beautifully because you have the benefit of having the gray hair, the white hair. That's why aging is not everything negative. No. Of course, a lot of things is no longer it used to be. But the new benefits will surface, will arise. That's why you have to experience them in life. This is what life is all about. As you age, as you develop the experience, all this understanding will accumulate. Then when you share your understanding, the Dhamma is different. It's very different. Okay, very good. PG, you want to wrap it up? Huh? Just summarize and we end. Huh? We're 10:30 already.
Yeah, Brother Teo, I think one of the important things I realized too is our own character.
Yeah.
We must see our own weakness.
Yeah,
I know I have quite a lot.
Very good, very good.
Especially I develop it while working.
Yeah, sadhu.
A lot of times it's not only the boss is demanding. I think I demand too much for myself.
Yeah, yeah.
So
sadhu.
I have to be kind to myself.
Yeah, yeah. That's why that statement is very important. You have to be kind to yourself. Means you have to learn to love yourself. Like I always share, loving yourself is like loving your son, your children. Because when you love, you can really sacrifice and go all out to protect them. So likewise, when you learn to love yourself, you will not harm yourself. Like you say, you will be kind to yourself. And if you can afford it, why not? Pamper yourself a little bit. That is life. There is nothing to do with craving or desire. No, when you understand, when there is condition to arise all this, like good food or whatever, you have the means, you have the condition, why not? But do not attach, do not cling, do not grasp. Do not want things your way. When there is no condition also, you want it. And then suffering will arise. And that is what attachment is. Craving, clinging, grasping it. But when you have the Dhamma, you have the wisdom, you don't grasp, you don't cling. You just allow things to be. When there are conditions for things to manifest, unfold, and arise, why not? Because you have the means. You don't cause suffering. You don't cause misery. You don't give rise to negativity. You still abide by the Noble Eightfold Path, the Dhamma way. And that is what cultivation is all about. Life can be meaningful, beautiful, when you have this understanding. Then it's no more conflict of duality and honesty. No more argument. Yeah, the Dhamma way is very clear. No negativity. The advice of the Buddha. Avoid all evil to good. Purify the mind. Develop wisdom. Follow the Dhamma way. Then nature's law will fall into place. Bring forth the causes and conditions for beautiful life experiences and situation to unfold. Then you look at life, it's like you are very lucky, very blessed. Oh, everything like goes your way, but you seldom have problem. But you look at those without Dhamma, oh, it's like hell break loose. Everything goes wrong. I see many of these people, kena hanti with them, haywire, upside down. A lot of suffering, a lot of affliction. Okay, we end. Huh? Thank you, PG. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will share merits. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa sirang rakantu loka sasana itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siriya idang menyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo Devo vasatu kalina sasa sampati hetu cha pito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina Mami bala samagamo satang samagamo otu yawa nivana patia sadu sadu sadu. Okay, you all can now be respect mindfully the love of the Kanyi Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. Eh? Then we end the whole Zoom session. Eh? Sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Brother Chimau for coming all the way up to us.
Yeah.
To come to the Zoom session.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.